Thanksgiving, an investigation of a Pauline theme. New Studies in Biblical Theology, David W. Powell, IVP 2002, 212 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. Table of Contents. 1. Thanksgiving as God-centeredness. 2. Thanksgiving within the covenantal traditions. 3. Thanksgiving and covenantal history. 4. A life of thanksgiving. 5. Thanksgiving in the future. 6. Ingratitude. Appendix. Pauline Thanksgiving and the Greco-Roman Benefaction System. Summary. Chapter 1. Thanksgiving as God-centeredness. There is no New Testament author who mentions thanksgiving more than Paul. He is the only author to call the church to thanksgiving, and he does so frequently. Even though more than three-quarters of the New Testament references to thanksgiving come from Paul, this theme has not been fully explored in works that examine Pauline theology and ethics. A focus has sometimes been placed on the thanksgiving theme in the introductory sections of Paul's epistles, but we must not separate those sections from the rest of his material on this topic. Paul's thanksgiving is not mainly offered in response to gifts received, but rather is often praise given to God for God's work in the lives of others. Paul's thanksgiving is given directly to God rather than other people. It can have an eschatological element, where Paul thanks God for what God will do in the future for his people. Thanksgiving stands as the ethical response to God. Ingratitude is tied to sin and is characteristic of unbelievers. Given what God has done for us in Christ, Paul calls us to be thankful in all circumstances. In Philo, we find a wider context for thanksgiving that should help us interpret the concept in the Old Testament. For Philo, thanksgiving is part of the essence of a right relationship with God. It is tied to proper expressions of theology and the supremacy of God. Thanking God is a way of praising Him, and in the Old Testament, praise is often the thanks response to God for His goodness and mercies. In fact, thanksgiving and praise can be identical, and when we respond to the gifts of God, worship and thanksgiving merge into one. Paul's view of thanksgiving is not a matter of social etiquette. It is worship. Praise, blessing, and thanksgiving are inseparable. Giving God glory is an act of thanksgiving, and thanking Him gives Him glory. Since worship is God-centered, thanksgiving is God-centered. Giving God thanks is the right way to acknowledge His character and works. We are completely dependent on God and should be filled with gratitude for all that He is and does for us. This gratitude expresses itself in thanksgiving to our Creator and Sustainer. Having been saved by grace, we return praise and thanksgiving. It is God Himself more than His gifts that should be the focus of our thanks. It is because of Paul's theological and Christological focus that thanksgiving is only given to God rather than others. Chapter 2, Thanksgiving Within the Covenantal Traditions. Covenant is the basis for God's relationship with His people, and it defines who they are and what their future will be. At the core of the covenant affirmation is the confession that God is one, and He alone is the God of His people. God is the sovereign king over His people. This is a personal relationship where God declares, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." The right response for Israel in covenant relationship is praise and worship. Israel's monotheism was not abstract, it was personal and historical. In covenant, God reminded the people of His past acts, their present obligations, and their future hope. God pointed people to His past callings and deliverances. He gave them the law and presented to them covenant stipulations. He pointed them forward to the glorious consummation of His blessings. Given the sin of the people, God promised the new covenant, which would transform the people and lead to eschatological glory. Paul saw the covenant promises fulfilled in the new covenant as being ushered in by Jesus. For Paul, the work of Christ was in continuity with God's past works, but also led forward to the eschatological age of the Spirit. The new covenant is Christocentric and brings together Jew and Gentile in Christ. In the new covenant, the church is to reflect the holiness of God as it looks forward to receiving its full inheritance through Christ when He returns. Covenantal renewal and personal recommitment are a way of acknowledging God and remembering His ways. He is to be praised with a thankful heart. Thanksgiving, therefore, is a covenantal act of God's people. Within the covenantal context, thanksgiving is not simply an emotional outburst, but a response that has theological, ethical, and social implications. In covenant, monotheism and God's sovereignty means we give Him praise and thanksgiving for all that He is and all of His goodness. As a covenant community, thanksgiving is not only an individual response, but a communal one. In fact, thanksgiving is to be a way of life for all those in covenant relationship with God. Because of what God has done in the past, we can give Him thanks for all that He will assuredly accomplish for us in the future, according to His promises. Chapter 3, Thanksgiving and Covenantal History. For Paul, thanksgiving is centered on God and what God has done for His people. In looking to past works, we learn about who He is. Remembrance is far more than mere recall. It is necessary for understanding who we are in covenant relationship with God. When we remember God, we draw closer to Him and the nature of reality. Remembering God reveals His faithfulness, and it is this faithfulness which gives us strength in the present and hope for the future. Confessing the great works of God in the past is a way of giving God praise, thanksgiving. Remembering events like creation and Exodus is a covenant act of thanksgiving to our covenant God. In remembering God and giving Him thanks, we proclaim God's name and build our theological understanding of Him. In the Gospels, thanksgiving is not related as much to God's gifts to individuals as it is a remembering of God's mighty acts. The great act of God comes to center on Christ, and His people's response is to be grateful, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, therefore, is an act of faith. In remembering Christ in the Lord's Supper, Exodus and Christ's work of redemption are tied together. There is also an eschatological perspective as we publicly proclaim Christ's death until He returns. Given the role of the cross and resurrection in accomplishing our salvation, it is not surprising that Paul sees the cross and resurrection as reasons to give thanks to God. Christ's redemptive covenantal work is the fulfillment of God's great salvific acts. So it is natural that Christ is at the heart of Paul's thanksgiving. It is through the forgiveness of sins in Christ that God has intimate covenant relations with His people. When people turned to Christ and found forgiveness, Paul gave thanksgiving to God for this work. Likewise, God is thanked and praised for Christ and for the work of the Spirit in the covenant community. Grace and thanksgiving are linked for Paul in a variety of ways, and God's grace is always grounds for thanksgiving. Having received the gifts of God through His grace, our only proper response is to pour out thanksgiving and praise back to Him. Chapter 4, A Life of Thanksgiving. In Paul's thinking, remembering the past motivates proper living in the present. Thanksgiving connects theology and ethics. Because of what God has done, indicative, there are right ways of responding, imperative. The covenant claim that God alone is to be worshipped, and since He is holy, His worshipers must walk before Him in holiness. Since it is only through Christ's death and resurrection that we can be saved and justified, Christ is central to our thanksgiving and Christian life. To live a life worthy of the Lord requires living a life of ethical righteousness, worship, and thanksgiving. Since God alone redeemed Israel from Egypt, He commanded them not to have any other gods before Him. In Israel's religious life, God explicitly banned idols because of the personal relationship that He had with His covenant people. Paul is clear that turning to the real God means turning from false gods and idols. In thanksgiving, we focus on God and His Son, turning away from all idolatry. Thanksgiving, presented to God alone, is to characterize God's people and their ethical living. In fact, thanksgiving to God is inherently anti-idolatry. Part of idolatry is giving thanks to things other than God. This robs Him of the glory due His name. Under the Old Covenant, the people had to present thanks offerings to God. In the New Covenant, Christ's sacrifice is the fulfillment of the sacrificial system. And now, believers bring to God the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God, and this is reflected in our ethical living. Paul's letters reveal that our every word and deed is to be pleasing to God, and that we are to give God thanks in every circumstance. This does not minimize evil. Paul himself suffered greatly, but it does call us to submit to the will of God. Thanksgiving also, however, leads us to offer petitions, since our focus is on God Himself. There are debates about the background of the household codes in Ephesus and Colossians, but Paul's are unique in that everything is put under the authority and lordship of Christ. In Colossians, a call to thanksgiving both precedes and closes Paul's instructions to households. Our every relationship is to be under the lordship of Christ, and since Christ is the center of our thanksgiving, a life of thanksgiving is essential in all our relationships and activities. Genuine gratitude and thanksgiving strengthen personal, covenantal relationships. As God and the gospel transform us, our vertical relationship with Him should affect our horizontal relationships with others. In Christ, we learn to regard people differently than the world does, and thanksgiving to God and gratitude are significant components of the life of covenant community. Chapter 5, Thanksgiving and the Future. When it comes to the theme of thanksgiving, Paul's material cannot be easily divided into a focus on either the past, present, or future. Many passages combine more than one perspective. Essential to the covenant orientation are promises that point to future blessings. God is sovereign over history, and He promises to fully reveal His sovereign rule in the future. Thanksgiving is offered to God for our future salvation, a salvation that is as good as done because of God's sovereignty and promises. There are also times when God's people reflect on the praise and thanksgiving that will be offered to God at the consummation of salvation. Even in lament, we can have confidence in God and thank Him for future deliverance, since He listens to prayer and is able to help. When the psalmists emerge from times of lament, the natural response is thanksgiving to God for His faithfulness. In Paul's introductory thanksgiving paragraphs in his epistles, remembering God's grace and works in the past reminds us of His faithfulness and thus points forward to His continuing grace and care that is yet to be experienced. God's grace and faithfulness unites the past and future. Since God has acted in Christ to secure salvation, we are to look forward with thankful hearts to the consummation of our redemption. There are also times when Paul directly thanks God for what God will do in the future. Our present thanksgiving can have an eschatological note. In the already and not yet, thanksgiving can be offered for what has not yet been fulfilled, but assuredly will be because of Christ. Believers may struggle now, but their confidence in God's future presence and blessing should result in thanksgiving. Looking back on what God has done in the past, and looking forward to what God will do in perfecting our salvation in the future, we are given a foundation in the present in praise and ethical holy living. since Thanksgiving is God-centered and Christ-centered, and since He has revealed what He will do in the future, eschatology is a proper sphere for our present thanksgiving and praise. Chapter 6, Ingratitude. If we are called to thanksgiving, we are also called away from ingratitude. The opposite of thanking God and remembering Him is murmuring against Him and grumbling. When Israel grumbled, it was because they did not trust in His power and presence. Murmuring was disloyalty and faithlessness in the covenant. It was rejection and breaking of the covenant bond. Ingratitude and failure to thank God is connected with idolatry and worshiping false gods. When the people turned to idols, they were failing to remember God, and they were forgetting His mighty works on their behalf. If we do not worship God, we are following false gods. Given the incredible grace and power of God's salvific acts, failing to give Him thanks can only come from an ungrateful heart. Paul points the Corinthians back to Israel's experiences to warn the church about grumbling like Israel did in the wilderness. Idolatry and sexual immorality in Israel's history are tied to their ingratitude and murmuring. Disobedience and ethical religious failure flows from failing to remember God and His works with proper gratitude. Ingratitude is a sin against God by failing to honor Him as the sovereign Lord of all. Paul calls believers to do everything without complaining, and do everything we do giving thanks to God the Father. For Paul, complaining and thanksgiving are covenantal opposites. In Romans 1, Paul links the failure to glorify and recognize God with humanity's failure to give Him thanks. Paul's logic moves from this failure to give God thanks to idolatry and onto sexual immorality. One of the terms in the vice list at the end of Romans 1 is that sinners are ungrateful. They idolatrously love themselves rather than loving God. Idolatry and being a lover of self is ingratitude. Being God-centered and Christ-centered is to be grateful and give thanks. Copyright 2024, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.